This is Morning Edition. I'm Will Michaels. North Carolina is home to 14.4 billion trees. Those trees provide habitat for animals and a healthy forestry business in the state. The growth of burning wood pellets for utility-scale electricity may push the forestry industry even higher, but it's a development that some say could have a catastrophic effect on global warming. Dave DeWitt reports.
Trucks carrying long logs have been streaming into this wood pellet plant on the edge of a Ahoskie all day long. This facility, owned by a company called Enviva, was an abandoned sawmill just 5 years ago. Now, trees are stacked 40 feet high as far as the eye can see. Longleaf pine, southern red oak, white ash, pretty much every tree species that grows in the southeast is used to make wood pellets. What type of tree and what part of them is used here is an important part of this story, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, the reason this plant exists at all in a remote corner of North Carolina is tied directly to a decision made 6 years ago in Europe.
It's all an export market driven by European demand, driven by big government subsidies in Europe, and driven by a false belief that this is benefiting the climate and is carbon neutral.
Derb Carter is with the Southern Environmental Law Center. He's describing the market for wood pellets that was created inadvertently back in 2009. That's when the European Union developed its 2020-20 policy for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It set as goals a 20% reduction in carbon emissions, 20% use of renewables for electricity production, and a 20% increase in efficiency. That sparked enormous growth across Europe in solar and wind. It also led several utility companies, including Drax in the UK, to convert coal-fired plants to biomass, or wood pellets, to meet the renewable standard. Burning wood releases carbon, more carbon, in fact, than coal, to get the same amount of electricity. But the EU policy assumed new forests would grow in place of the wood used for pellets and would absorb the carbon that was burned, and so it was deemed carbon neutral. And that's true, in theory. Bill Schlesinger is the former dean of the School of the Environment at Duke University.
Not all biomass is created equal. I'm fully in favor of using wood waste from construction and pallets from shipping, even rapidly regenerating plantation forests. You know, that's fine.
What's not so fine is using whole hardwood trees to make pellets. Softwoods, like pines and plantation forests, take 20 to 30 years to regrow. Hardwoods take as long as 100 years, lengthening the so-called carbon debt. Remember the Enviva wood pellet plant in Ahoskie, where whole trees and not just wood waste are clearly being used? According to internal Enviva documents obtained by WUNC, about 80% of the wood used to make pellets at that plant come from hardwoods. At other plants in North Carolina and Virginia, that percentage is even higher. Enviva did not respond to multiple requests for comment, but if whole trees are being used and the vast majority are hardwoods, that's not what the EU had in mind for carbon neutral, says Schlesinger.
The underlying critical issue is how long it takes to regrow what you've cut, because that's when you pay off the carbon debt that you dumped into the atmosphere.
Off the two-lane highway between Ahoskie and Oak City, a forest is getting clear-cut. The foresters are maybe 100 yards back from the road. The trees they're cutting will be used to make everything from lumber to toilet paper. And because of the close proximity of the Enviva plant a few miles away, it's very likely some will become wood pellets. Those wood pellets are shipped from the southeast U.S. to Europe, creating even more carbon along the way. But why? Why are European companies turning to suppliers in the southeastern United States? As Robert Apt, a forestry professor at NC State, explains, the southeast is one of the few places on Earth where, when the land is left alone, trees will quickly dominate.
But as it turns out, a lot of the forests we have in the south are from abandoned ag land. So not only is it productive land, but it's land that reverts to trees anyway.
North Carolina has a long history of forestry. Nearly the entire state was clear-cut by the beginning of the 20th century to make way for farms. But because of favorable growing conditions, about 60% of the state is now covered with trees. The vast majority of that forest land, almost 90%, is privately owned. And because this is the South, it's also largely unregulated, with landowners allowed to do pretty much whatever they want with their land.
And that's the way the founders of the United States kind of set it up.
Pryor Gibson is with the North Carolina Forestry Association. He says many individual forest landowners, like himself, use the land as a secondary source of income. It provides revenue at various times, when the forest is thinned, and again when it's clear-cut. And while no law exists to make him replant the trees that serve such a vital role in absorbing carbon, he says it's in a landowner's best interest to do so.
No thoughtful landowner, nobody that got up enough money to buy the land and plant the land, is going to be stupid with the land.
But the landowner could sell the land. The Forestry Association is in a constant battle to, as Gibson says, keep the land in trees and not have landowners choose to convert forest land to farmland or development. This is one area where landowners, foresters, and ecologists agree. The more land devoted to trees, the better. Again, Bill Schlesinger.
I agree as an environmental scientist that it's important to maintain a value on forest, a value on land that's forested, because once it goes to suburban development, shopping centers, gas stations, housing development, that really is lost forever in terms of ecological value.
The issue, of course, is whether the forested land is ecologically diverse and helps pay the carbon debt. The exploding market for wood pellets is still not a primary factor in the economics of the forestry industry in North Carolina. Home starts and even the growth of the adult diaper industry determine wood prices. But that may change in the future. As many as 24 wood pellet plants are planned across the South, as are port facilities in Wilmington and other locations. That will likely drive up the market for hardwoods to make pellets. This is expected to be a topic during the upcoming Paris climate talks. Whatever policies are developed there will be geared toward reducing global warming. But those choices will also significantly alter the landscape, physically and economically, of the southeastern United States for decades to come. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.